Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
Don't Go in the Woods, Volume 4, Story Number 1. This story happened sometime in the late 70s or very early 80s. My dad told me the story the next day and only told it once. He'd never discuss it again. My dad was an avid fisherman. He lived to fish, and once he had the rod and reel in his hand, he'd fish until he was worn out, a storm came in, etc. We had several locations on the different lakes here in the Ozarks that we went to on the weekends. Wonderful memories, to say the least. Night fishing was a lot of fun because there usually was no one else out there fishing except the truly hardcore, like my dad. On this particular planned night fishing expedition, I couldn't go because of work. Dad contacted one of his other fishing buddies, and he was more than eager to go for a long night of bass fishing. This particular fishing buddy, I'll call him Jim, was about as fanatical about fishing as my dad. They planned to go to the upper end of Norfolk Lake on the Missouri-Arkansas border, where we had a honey hole that almost always produced big bass. At that time, there were no houses along the lake or in that area, so it was truly like you were out in the boonies. Dad and Jim unloaded the bass boat in a ramp on the Arkansas side and sped up to the honey hole area. It was just turning dark when they arrived. Fishing was good that evening for both Dad and Jim. There was no moon that night, no wind, no fog, and the bass were hungry. Since it was during the week, no one else was on the lake where they were, and no other boats passed by the entire time they were there. Everything went well till about 2 a.m. Both Dad and Jim suddenly heard what sounded like a soft splashing noise over across the lake near the opposite shore, about 250 yards away. Dad reached down and picked up his powerful marine spotlight and shone it towards the source of the sound. Both Dad and Jim were both bewildered at what they saw over there. A grayish object was over towards the opposite shore and about 50 yards out from the shore. The object was smooth, with no lights, appeared to be oblong-shaped, and estimated to be about 20 feet long. The height above water of the object in the center of it was about 3 feet. Both ends tended to taper down from the center. All edges were rounded. No writing or any identifying marks on it. Couldn't get a good estimate of its width. No signs of life around it. Whatever this was appeared to be bigger and longer than Dad's bass boat. A soft splashing noise emanated from it, yet it was not moving at all. The water round it appeared to be calm. Dad told him, "We may have a boat turned over. Somebody may need help." Jim got on the big motor and started up while Dad kept a spotlight on the object for navigation reference. They were just a few yards away from it when Dad looked back towards Jim for a few seconds to tell him to throttle back down. We're almost there. When they looked forward towards the object again, they saw nothing. Jim shut down the engine as Dad shone the spotlight all over the area. Nothing was there but the calm, dark lake. The object had completely disappeared. It was also very quiet. Both Dad and Jim had seen it from the opposite side of the lake and watched it as they approached it, but in seconds it had just vanished. They looked around for a few more moments, and then Jim said, "Doc, I haven't felt this since our base camp was about to be overrun by the NVA in Nam. We gotta get out of here now." My dad apparently was terrified as well, because with that, it just took a few seconds for him to restart the engine and slam the throttle down on his big Mercury and speed away to the loading ramp a couple of miles to the south. Dad told me the story the next morning while we were cleaning fish. He simply told it and would say no more. Same for Jim, and all the years since then, he'd refused to talk about it. Both Dad and Jim were two men who were about as practical as you could get, and neither were prone to believe in the Booger Man or believe other people's wild stories. In any case, they saw something, and it ended up terrifying both of them. As a side note, I don't believe my dad ever returned back to the honey hole again. Story number 2. I was camping on Mount Hood with friends in a rural area, barely accessible by a 4x4 truck. It was late morning and I needed some alone time, so I went on an easy walk hike by myself. I was about 30 minutes away from the campsite and no sign of people. Just what I needed to recharge. Introverts need space. I stomped onward. I was almost ready to turn back. The woods and underbrush are thick up there in summer. You can't see too far ahead. so I was surprised when I almost stumbled out and into the edge of a clearing. It was weird. A big round clearing in the woods on Mount Hood. No fallen trees, just grassy field, except for a small copse of trees almost centered in the clearing. It was shaded inside so I couldn't see into it. It was unique and interesting. I thought, cool, maybe that's worth exploring. But before the idea totally processed, the hair stood up on my neck and arms. I couldn't see, smell, or hear anything wrong, but my monkey brain went on high alert. The survival voice in my head said, back away slowly from the clearing and don't run. I did just that. I know to follow that voice. When I got far enough away from the clearing, I turned around and picked up the pace. I didn't run. I had a distinct impression I was being followed from a distance. I glanced out of the corner of my eye, but nothing. I felt like turning around for a look, but my instinct said, that's a bad idea. I don't know why. I'm sure my adrenaline was making my brain crazy. I was probably overreacting to nothing, but I felt like time was short. As soon as I got close enough to hear Highway 26 above, I broke land speed record. I bolted up that steep ridge as if gravity had no effect on me. I didn't hear or see anything pursue me from the woods. I walked down Highway 26 watching below to spot anything. Nothing. Eventually a highway patrol car stopped me. A passing car had called on me. I reluctantly told the officer my experience. I swore I was sober in all ways and waited for a drunk test. Nope. He said, get in and I'll take you as close as this car can get for your campsite. He continued, don't do that again. There is all kind of crazy shit in those woods, not just animals. Stay with people. He was serious. That freaked me out. Was anything there? I don't know. But I am known to have a reliable danger sense. It isn't always 100% accurate, but when I get that feeling, I act upon it. Next story. When I was 10 years old, our family moved to borderline rural Pacific Northwest neighborhood. Acres and acres of woods for a backyard. My brother, 9 years old, and I snuck off to explore our new land. We weren't scared. Growing up in this part of the U.S., the woods are part of life. Kids are stupid. We approached a spot deep in the woods. There were leaf trees instead of evergreens here. It was fall, so you could see the clouds above. In the center of the trees, the ground had a circular indentation. It was about 6 feet across, gradually sloping down to 2 feet. It looked odd, like a sinkhole. The light from above was pale and barely getting through. Sound was a little thick, almost damped down. I didn't like it there. It set off my alarms. But I was the older brother. I couldn't show fear to my little brother. I was trying to be brave when my brother said, Bobby, I don't like it here. I'm scared. It makes my stomach hurt. He rarely ever admitted fear. I was feeling exactly the same way, too. So we got out of there. We eventually met the other neighborhood kids. I had to ask about the spot in the woods. Couldn't ask fearfully. No 10-year-old boy wants to admit this to another boy. I asked Rick about the woods. Have you ever been to that spot with all that leaf trees? He turned pale, white, like he was going to throw up. With no regard for composure, he said nervously, we don't go there. It's a bad place. None of us kids go there. Don't go there. And rode his bike away from me. After that, we gave the spot in the woods a wide arc. I only visited the spot one other time. Fast forward 20 years later, I met someone that lived in that area before me. I asked him about it. Yeah, he knew about it too. We both still lived in the area, so we did a blind test. We took another friend for a walk in the woods. We got to the area, and the two of us in the know maintained composure. Our friend examined the area. He said, am I the only one that's totally creeped out right now? What is this? Can we leave now? I really don't like it here. What is this all about? What is this place? On the hurried way out, me and friend number one realized neither of us talked about where the spot was. We both just went there, same spot. Friend number two talks about it years later. I have no idea what is up with that spot. My brother gets goosebumps when we bring it up to anyone. Me too. I'm not that type to believe in evil as a thing, but if such a thing is real, it is here. I never admitted that part to anyone. Next story. This didn't happen to me, but to my uncle, my dad's younger brother, back in his early college days, which were the late 1970s. I'm almost 30 now, and I've heard this story many times since I was a kid. I've asked my uncle about it over the years, thinking he would finally say he was just messing with me, but he still swears it's all true, and the story never changes. He said there was no drinking, drugs, nothing like that involved. He is a very smart, rational person that doesn't believe in aliens, ghosts, etc. So I 100% believe him. Just to get a feel for the geography of the area, this is northeast Tennessee along the Cumberland Plateau near a town called Oneida. Both of my parents grew up there. The area is very hilly, mountainous, with thick woods, deep valleys, and lots of remote backcountry. It is in the heart of Appalachia, and the state actually converted much of it into a state park, Big South Fork, a long time ago. Anyway, my uncle and his buddy were home from college one weekend and were double dating. They were bored and after dinner decided they would take the girls out for a drive since it was such a nice night. They ended up going down this old dirt road that was pretty remote and led to old hiking trails near the state park. This was a spur-of-the-moment decision, so no one knew they were heading out there. They drove about halfway down the road and didn't see any cars on the way in. It was late at this point, so they decided to park and turn the car headlights off with the windows down. My uncle said he noticed what looked like a house light way on down the road. He thought it was a little strange because he didn't know of any houses down there, but he didn't really think much about it. A few minutes later, he looked again and thought the light had gotten closer. He watched and it was still a long ways away and didn't seem to be moving, so he thought he was imagining it. Well, a few minutes later on, one of the girls said, "What is that?" My uncle looked up and the light looked to be about 20 feet in front of the car. He said it was about waist high off the ground and moving towards them slowly. He thought someone was coming up on them with a flashlight. Startled, he switched on the headlights and nothing was there. Needless to say, they hauled butt out of there and never looked back. My dad vividly remembers that night it happened. He said my uncle came over after dropping his friends off and he was visibly shaking. If that's not creepy enough, my uncle's friend told him the next day that when they were starting the car to leave, he looked out the passenger side window and thought he saw someone or something standing about 10 feet off the road, just staring. He couldn't make out details since they were frantically trying to get out of there, but he is sure he saw a dark figure. He didn't want to say anything while the girls were in there because they were already hysterical. That last part always creeped me out, big time. Next story. Now, I will caution you that I know I sound crazy when I tell this story, but this is the God as my witness right hand to God truth. This story takes place a few miles north of a little town called Caroline in north-central Wisconsin. It happened during the summer of 1999, after my 8th grade year. I lived on a small dairy farm that had about 80 acres behind the farmhouse. Butted up against our land was a neighbor's land that was mostly wooded, but there was a small pond that went through both our property lines. Now, of course, being a young'un, I was free to move between our property and our neighbor's freely as long as I didn't bother his cattle and whatnot. I was usually out there with a little .22 or a pellet gun, just waiting for something to move. The weeks leading up to this story, I had vivid memories finding an unusually large amount of deer and calf carcasses around the pond, maybe about 5 or 6 in a 3-week period. Normally, I wouldn't think twice about it because we have lots of black bears around there, and they usually get sick deer or can steal off with a calf every now and then. Whatever the case, it didn't raise my suspicion until about the beginning of August. My bedroom was on the 2nd floor of the house, and I had one window facing out back towards our land. Looking from the window, the right plot was almost straw and the left plot was corn. The fence dividing the two fields started at the southern corner of our house, so, simply put, you could see both fields clearly from my room. Under my window was a small backyard that was kind of cut into the hayfield where my mom had a large garden, about 25 feet by 75 feet or so. Our house was built around 1920 and didn't have air conditioning or anything. During the summer, I usually slept with my window open and a small fan running in my room. One night, I was woken up by a strange sound outside. It sounded like the rooting of a pig. At least that's how I remembered it. I don't remember the exact time that it happened, but I think it was probably between 11:30 or 1 a.m. As I lay in bed listening to this weird rooting sound that was not too far outside my window, I started to think that it was odd because my family never dealt with hogs, and neither did any of our neighbors. I honestly can't remember a time where I've ever seen a feral hog in our area, nor have I heard of anyone else seeing them either. The more I thought about it, the more weirded out I got. My headboard was just to the right of the window, so the whole time this was happening, my face was only about 2 feet from the open window, but it was just a little too high for me to simply crane my neck out. I didn't turn my light on in my room because the moon was outside my window, illuminating the fields, and it was enough to see where I was going. I sat up in bed rather quickly and kind of haphazardly flipped my covers off me and put my feet on the ground. Before I could get up, however, the rooting, grunting sound stopped abruptly. I realized that this whatever it is can definitely hear me. I remember my heart rate racing and it becoming harder to breathe. I sat up in my bed for what seemed to be an eternity, but it was probably more like 30 seconds or so. Slowly the rooting, grunting sound started again, and eventually it went back to as much fervor as it had when I woke up initially. Convinced that this thing outside had forgotten about me, I slowly stood up. What I saw next has literally haunted me for the past 16 years, and the memories are still just as vivid as the day this happened. I remember it with the utmost clarity and detail. I slowly stood up, making sure not to creak any of the floorboards as best I could. I only had to move forward a few feet to gaze upon the spectacle outside. I looked down at my mother's garden, which was about 50 or 60 feet away from the back wall of the house, and on the left side of the garden, I saw this thing. I had no idea what I was looking at, but it sure as hell wasn't a pig, a bear, a fox, coyote, wolf, badger, wolverine, or any other animal that I could think of. I could only see the silhouette of it because all I had was moonlight outside. What it honestly looked like for a second was Quasimodo from the Hunchback of Notre Dame. That's what I remember thinking briefly. It was a rounded over hunch figure that seemed to be squatting on its back legs and digging very rapidly through the edge of my mom's garden. It would hop side to side kind of like a monkey, hopping about 8 inches or so in either direction, and would keep digging. It was tearing apart the edge of the garden. After a few minutes, it rounded the edge of the garden and started digging the long side that runs parallel to my house, so its back was now facing me. Again, it was maybe 50 or 60 feet away from me and about 15 feet down from where my window was. It did the same side-hopping thing it was doing while the whole time making this really loud rooting, grunting noise. Again, I can only compare it to the sound of a pig when rooting, but this thing wasn't sticking its head near the ground or anything, or at least not that I could notice it. It was just digging like hell. Now, this is where it goes from really strange to absolutely hair-raising. Totally insane and effing terrifying. After 5 minutes or so of this thing just digging around the perimeter of my mom's garden, it just stopped. It stopped the digging, it stopped the rooting, grunting noise, and it just sat there motionless for about 15 seconds. What happens next still gives me goosebumps, as I'm getting them just thinking about this whole story. It raised up on its back legs and just stood there as a human does, facing our field towards the woods. It stood for about 10 seconds and then turned and faced to the bright briefly, and that's when I saw the form of this thing. It was huge. It was probably 6.5 or 7 feet tall and had a huge barrel chest. It turned to the right just briefly, but that was enough to see how big it was from the side. So it turns and looks to the right and then starts walking on two legs right through the garden and about 50 feet into the hayfield. I was kind of squinting now because it was kind of disappearing into the darkness, but it dropped down on all four legs and started running. As I remember, it ran much like a dog does. It ran diagonally to the left towards our fence line that divided the hay and cornfields, and it leapt right over it. The fence was probably 4.5 feet high. It was an old barbed wire fence that we really didn't even maintain. It's behind that field where the pond that is between our property and our neighbors is. I remember laying back down in bed and started crying. Not like boo-hooing or sobbing, but tears just came out and I just stared at the ceiling. I don't know how long it took me to fall back asleep, probably 2 or 3 hours. I remember waking up to my mom making breakfast, and I ran outside and looked at the garden. It was definitely tore up, and I certainly wasn't dreaming. I ran back inside, fanatically yelling to my mom and my dad what I had seen, and if they didn't believe me to look at the garden. My mom went out there and said that it was just some animal had torn through looking for food. I tried explaining everything that I had seen that night, and they just stared at me like I was speaking Chinese and said I was dreaming, or I was mistaken. Later on, my mom filled in all the holes and straightened out the garden again so there was no visible trace of what was there. I never went back to that pond again because at that point, and to this day, I'm convinced that this thing that I saw was the one responsible for killing those deer and calves. I never went back there. The next 5 years, I lived in that house. When school started again, I cautiously asked some of my friends that lived near the area if they had seen anything out of the ordinary, and none of them had. I tried telling a few people what I saw, but they just laughed. Called me an idiot or a loony, and that was the end of it. The closest thing that I can compare to what I saw is what a werewolf is depicted as. Most notable, the lichens from Underworld. The effing movie put me into paralysis the first time I saw it because of how closely it resembled what I saw that night. Long story short, after the first few weeks of school my freshman year, I just simply never talked about what I saw that night again. I only told my wife about 3 years ago what happened, which is about 13 years after I saw it. I know she believes me that I saw something out there, but I think she is under the impression that I've dramatized it quite a bit, which is not true. After I told my wife about it, she asked me if I'd ever looked it up online or done any research into strange sightings in Wisconsin. I honestly haven't ever done it before. It didn't take long for me to find what is called the Beast of Bray Road, which had been spotted in central Wisconsin for decades. Reading some of the first-hand accounts of other people only solidified that I did see what I saw, and some of the artistic renderings are pretty damn spot on with what I saw. One of the most obvious questions I'm going to get is, what did the prints look like? The truth is, I don't really know. When I went outside that morning, it wasn't to examine prints, it was to make sure that the garden was indeed ripped apart and I wasn't dreaming. Another question I've gotten is, why didn't your parents investigate it? Well, I don't know that either. I think my mom was just so convinced it was just another animal that she didn't even bother to look at it. There are all sorts of critters up there, to include wild dogs, coyotes, and wolves. So I imagine that any print the thing left would have resembled either of those three things. Another question is, why don't you go back out with your mom and look around? The easy answer is, I live on an operating dairy farm. After breakfast, it was off to the barn. My little monster fantasy wasn't enough to keep me from cleaning the stalls and liming the barn. Next story. I was born and raised in Arkansas, out in the middle of nowhere. I have more stories than I can count, but this is one of the most scariest. Back in 2009, probably around the fall, me, my boyfriend, who's now my husband, my younger brother, all came home. My brother had some kind of sports practice, and we had picked him up. Nobody else was home. My mom had left probably 2 hours prior. The living room had a huge glass window behind the couch, and since we lived in the middle of the woods, my parents kept the blinds up and the curtains pulled back most of the time. Behind the house was probably a 50-foot wide clearing and then woods behind it. My brother and boyfriend plopped down on the couch while I went to the bedroom to change clothes. After I was almost dressed, I heard, "Oh my God," come out of my brother's mouth. I didn't think much of it until my boyfriend yelled at me to come in there. Laying behind the house was a dead dog. Now, at the time, we thought it was one of our dogs. It was black and similar, but it was a tad bigger. The scary part? The dog was sliced open like you would slice open a deer to gut it. I'm talking from neck to tail. Even stranger, it was lying on a small plastic mat we had just laying in the yard. It was placed there on purpose, on a mat directly under our window. There was no blood trail, and it recently rained quite a bit, so our backyard was muddy, mostly dirt. To this day, I have no idea who would have done that or how they got the dog there without even footprints in the thick mud. The no blood part is easily explained away. The dog looked like it had been drained of blood, although it was a fresh kill. The boys checked. I wouldn't go near it. I'm assuming it was hung up, sliced, and drained. We called my mom immediately, and she said 100% for a fact it hadn't been there before she left, because they just placed the mat there the week before and she remembered seeing it and thinking she needed to put it up. No dead dog on it then. So we think someone was watching the house. To make it even more creepy, our closest neighbor is at least a mile away. There is a thick wooded area to the north of our house, thick to the south, and a collection of big hay fields to the east, which is where our driveway is and is very easy to see someone. To the west, where the dog was, there is not only woods, but the woods is on a huge hill, complete with cliffs at the top. Next story. This happened back in 2004. In Massachusetts. My wife's brother was looking for a house in the Berkshires as a second home that would ultimately be their primary home when he and his wife retired, so they invited us to go look at houses with them. It was in November and getting cooler up there. We drove up on a Friday night after work, and they got us a room where they were staying. They had been up there for a few days before we arrived. We had dinner, hung out, and went to bed. The next morning was breakfast, and we went to look at some houses. The real estate agent showed us a few houses earlier in the day, and we had a break for lunch, and the agent had somewhere else to go for a while. So the last house she showed us was between Great Barrington and Stockbridge. We got there around 3, and the house was built around 1850 or so, but Totally upgraded inside, high-end kitchen, added bathrooms, fresh paint, 4 working fireplaces, hearth in the kitchen, etc. It had a big detached 3-car garage with an artist loft over it. It was also vacant with no furnishings. The property was 3 acres and the local zoning was nothing less than 2 acres, so the houses were spread apart. We finished the interior tour and me and my wife's brother, Steve, went out back while the girls chatted with a real estate agent. The property was terraced upwards towards a wooded area out back. We were going to walk the perimeter, but it was close to dark. Steve saw a raised bluff about 75 yards from the house off to the right, well behind the garage. So we walked over to it. Looked like a great place for a pool. There was a set of wide slate steps going up to it, maybe 6 to 8 steps in total. Once at the top, there was a cleared out area about 40 feet by 40 feet covered in slate. In the center was a semicircle of 8 or 10 slate benches that would each sit 2 to 3 people and a raised slate slab in the center that was about 3 feet by 8 feet, but not close to the benches and too high to eat off of. So we look at each other and all of a sudden it gets colder and I get this sick feeling in my stomach. I turned to Steve and said, "What the F is this?" He says he doesn't want to know. We looked around a few more seconds and noticed black candle wax on the raised slab. By now it's dark and the girls and agents are outside waiting for us. We said goodbye to the agent and we got back in the car. Then we told the girls what we saw and both of us related what we felt about the altar we ran into. His wife Sue said she liked the house quite a bit and mentioned putting a bid on it. Normally quiet and composed, Steve said, "Are you effing kidding me?" There was definitely something evil about the back of that property. Anywhere else, I don't have that feeling of dread. They wound up having a new house built towards the eastern side of the Berkshires earlier the next year. Next story. This was back in 1999. One summer evening, a friend of mine came over to sleep. Together with my brother, we spent the evening talking about the crap teenage boys like to talk about. At 1 a.m., we decided we wanted to go exploring. The town we lived in was small and bordering farmland, but there was an abandoned rail line nearby. So we decided to follow the rails for a bit, naturally without a flashlight or any means of self-defense. The moon was out, so at least we could see somewhat. We walked for about a mile before we became aware of something that was ahead of us. As we drew closer, we realized it was an old rail car, an honest-to-God caboose. This got my friend and my brother excited. As we got up to it, I got the feeling that this wasn't a good place to be and told them we should go back. They argued and said they wanted to try and get inside. After a few minutes, I told them I was going back. I turned back and headed home while they proceeded to approach the car. I was walking back alone for a few minutes when I heard them yell in the distance. Soon after, they came running up, gasping for breath and as pale as sheets. They wouldn't answer my questions until we were back indoors. They evidently started by trying the first door they found, which turned out to be locked. As they discussed whether to walk to the other side or to try and force the door, they both described something very large and dark rise up from inside the car and approach the door. There were no discernible features, only that it was darker than the inside of the car and that it was easily wider than the door. As they both proceeded to freak out, something from the inside seized the door handle and began to pull upon it so forcefully that they said the car shook. They screamed in near unison and ran. Next story. Back in the early 90s, my wife and I were house hunting. We had looked at dozens and dozens of houses. The wife was very picky. One evening when I got home from work, she was very excited about a house she found in a town about 30 miles from our apartment. She said I had to see it, so she called a realtor who agreed to meet us at the place. Now, I'm a pretty level-headed guy, not easily spooked, so what happened next still bothers me to this day. The home was set back from the street in a quiet, semi-rural neighborhood. Driving up the winding driveway towards the house, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. As the house came into view, my angst grew. Something wasn't right. I immediately noticed that there was no front door, no door at all facing the front yard. Strange, I thought, but I kept quiet. The wife and realtor were chattering about how nice the house was and that I would love it. Upon entering the house, my senses were heightened. I was on edge. As I stepped inside the kitchen, I noticed that the appliances were all there. Fridge, range, microwave, dishwasher, dining room table, etc. Entering the living room, I noticed that it was fully furnished. Same scenario in the bedrooms, all furnished and relatively new furnishings at that. Now, my wife had told me the owner had moved to the West Coast from the East Coast where the house was located and left abruptly. Apparently, I was the only one who thought it strange, but it could be innocent enough, maybe a job change. As I continued touring the home, my skin was crawling. That was when the realtor showed me the front door facing the forest behind the house. Why would you put the main entrance facing an expanse of uninhabited forest? Odd to say the least. I couldn't take it anymore. I had to say something. At that point, I asked the question, why was the house for sale? She told me that the owner just up and moved clear across the country. She then told me they're motivated sellers who had already dropped the price 3 times and everything is included with the sale, all the appliances and furnishings. I asked the wife and realtor why they didn't think that was strange. They said they hadn't thought about it. I asked them why they didn't question why such a beautiful house was being marked down like it was a fire sale. No answer. I then asked if they thought the main entrance should face the forest instead of the main road. No answer, but I could see they were thinking about it. I then told them something feels wrong with this place, something feels eerily unsettling to me. They both got quiet, pondering what I was saying. I asked the realtor if she knew anything about the home's history. She did not. However, she said that earlier in the day she was alone in the house waiting for my wife and heard noises in another part of the house, but assumed it was settling or something like that. I told them that my senses were telling me there was something off about the property. Just as soon as I said this, boom, a door to one of the bedrooms slammed shut. We all nearly jumped out of our skin. Moments later, we were in the car and pulling out of the driveway. As the headlights panned across the side windows, the beams of light reflected back what looked like to all of us like 2 glowing eyes. I'm sure it was just our imagination getting the best of us, but it was one of the creepiest situations I've ever experienced.